17 after 7 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Williams with Amy Shondroff. Earlier this year, back as a matter of fact, all the way back to the practically the beginning of the year, a psychologist by the name of John Gardner posted a petition declaring that Donald Trump must be removed from office because he has a, quote, serious mental illness that renders him psychologically incapable of completely discharging the duties of the presidency of the United States. And more than 18,000 psychologists, psychiatrists, and other mental health professionals signed the agreement.
All Democrats.
All right. This is an article from Psychology Today, which I think it's hilariously referred to these people as shrinks, saying that the president of the United States is not in his right mind, essentially. UT Arlington political science professor Alan Sachs is joining us now because we always turn to Alan for reaction and reflexes on this, reflections on this sort of thing. Good morning, Alan.
I think we need to psychoanalyze the psychologists.
Yeah, you put 18,000 psychologists in a room, you're going to get 18,000 different versions of things.
You know, I think this even goes against some of their ethical standards. This happened to former Senator Barry Goldwater when he ran for president against Lyndon Johnson in 1964. They psychoanalyzed him, came up with some ridiculous opinion without ever talking to him in person, just from afar, or what they had heard about him, and declared that he was sort of, quote, unfit for the presidency and sort of a madman because of some of his announcements and what he wanted to do in regard to the Vietnam War raging at that time. And I think later on their own ethical standards said we cannot make these pronouncements without talking to somebody up close and personal. And apparently they violated their own ethical standards, as I understand it.
He's starting to fight with his own cabinet. I mean, he's taken on Rex Tillerson and saying they need to have a Mensa test. And he's taken on now Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee. I mean, what's going on?
Abraham Lincoln had the same issues with his cabinet. In fact, I think Doris Carnes Goodwin, a very eminent historian, has written a book called something like, I'm paraphrasing, a Team of Enemies or something like that.
Right. I read the book, and I can't remember the name of it either, but that's
right.
Close. Yeah.
And it's very interesting because Abraham Lincoln did not get along good with his cabinet during the campaign. He fought with them. And in fact, many of his cabinet members, even into his presidency, looked at him and said, what are you doing? You know, but later on, I think he gained their confidence. And during his administration, he was admired by them. I'm not saying that President Trump's going to have the same kind of conclusion to his presidency, but this is not the only president we've had or major political party official that has had this kind of controversy raging. President Lyndon Johnson, in fact, actually demeaned many of the people around him, many of his advisors. Some of that has just come out after his presidency when they were willing to talk. But it was absolutely demeaning in many ways what President Johnson did to those around him. Far, far different from what President Trump is doing. This is President Trump. Some people find it funny, and some people find it disgusting. And it depends on how you look at it. Many American presidents have had strange issues. For example, President Theodore Roosevelt, who we now look at now as Teddy Roosevelt, and we have the teddy bear named after him, in fact, because he refused correctly to shoot a bear cub, I think, in one time. So they named him Teddy Bear. And he brought in farm animals. He was quite a wildlife person. And he brought in farm animals into the White House to live. And a lot of people thought, what are you doing? You know, but now it's a term of endearment. Not only do they call it a teddy bear, but also they look upon it as a very interesting eccentricity. And many of our American presidents have had some a lot more serious. During Woodrow Wilson's presidency, he had a terrible stroke, and his wife actually ran the presidency, I think, for about 18 months, or so many historians say. So in light of all these things, President Trump having a war with Senator Bob Corker, with his Secretary of State, this is really, I think, in the scheme of things, fairly mild.
Yeah. You know what I think, too, is, for example, his comments about Rex Tillerson. He said, oh, I don't think he called me a moron. He didn't do, but if he did, then we should have we should have a battle of IQs or something, and I'll tell you who will win. To me, that's obvious that he was making a joke.
That's right, exactly.
But it's never presented that way, is it? It's like we got to beat the drum on what a big crazy man the president is.
That's right. It was a joke, you know. But people don't understand joke in these days or sarcasm, and that happens a lot. And that's who President Trump is. He's sarcastic. He jokes a lot. And many, I recognize if somebody's in the presidency, they need to be very careful with their words. But that's who he is. That's who he was elected to be. We knew who he was when people elected him, a good chunk of the American population. And the same thing is true with all of them. If we look back at the presidencies of President John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, President Bill Clinton, oh my gosh, you know, that's for another day's discussion.
It seems like past presidents have done this. We just didn't know about it because there was no social media around at the time, or the reporting wasn't like it is today.
That's a good point. Not only was there no social media, but the media was complicit in this. They knew many of the things going on in President Kennedy's White House or in Lyndon Johnson's White House, but they did not report on it. And, of course, there wasn't social media either. I worked for the Oklahoma legislature many, many, many years ago, and the media knew exactly some of the shenanigans going on in the Oklahoma legislature. I'm talking half a century ago or more. And they were complicit in it. They just didn't talk about it. It was a very different standard than today. Some people might remember at the governor's election in Texas many years ago, Ann Richards, who became governor and a good governor, very interesting, in 1990, I believe. She was running against a man by the name of Clayton Williams. And Clayton Williams made a joke, not a good joke, about women at a private fundraising affair. And oh, boy, the media somehow, it was a changing media that caught hold of that joke, and they blasted him over the head. Those kinds of, quote, jokes were well understood by the media many years previous. But all of a sudden in 1990, things began to change, and he lost the governorship to Ann Richards. So the media has changed dramatically in recent years on what it covers and who they want to go after.
I'm wondering if this might have an unsought-for but positive effect in actually driving the Congress a little bit closer together. You know, the politics making strange bedfellows and whatnot, because the president's attacking both sides.
Exactly. He was elected not just against the Democrats, as a lot of people are now telling people correctly. He was anti-establishment. A lot of conservatives say, what is he? He's not a true conservative. And they're right. He is anti-establishment. The comparison to him to Andrew Jackson in the early part of the 19th century is a pretty good comparison, being very anti-establishment. But how long he can continue that in Washington is difficult to know. But it's sort of interesting. He called Senator Bob Corker, I think, a name about his height, Little Bobby Corker or something like that. So he doesn't refrain from that. So all the criticism leveled at him, President Trump keeps on it, you know. And I'm a little guy. I'm about as short as Bob Corker, and that doesn't bother me. It's sort of funny stuff, you know, that goes on. But if it comes from President Trump, nothing's funny to some people.
You're just pint-sized.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Pint-sized.
Nice.
I am
fun-sized.
And so is Senator Bob Corker. By the way, Senator Corker does have a lot to answer for in his role as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on that Iran, quote, deal that President Trump is trying to unravel. And Senator Corker was instrumental in getting that through as an agreement and not as a treaty, which it should have happened.
All right. UT Arlington, poli-sci professor Alan Sachs.